T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So the news came out today. And the unemployment numbers were through the roof. I think that most people, it was hard to even wrap your mind around what those numbers mean. At least for me, it was. And so I figured if I couldn't really grasp it, I'm guessing that many other folks couldn't grasp it either. So why not reach out to my alma mater, Duquesne University, and get a guest on who could help us make sense of it all? You know how that is. And so we reached out once again to Dr. Anthony Davis, Associate Professor in Economics at Duquesne University, to join us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline to help us make sense. Welcome back, Dr. Davies.
Thank you for having me.
So when we talk about numbers like this and the fact that they are historic, but that it means much more than just making history, correct?
It does. It turns out there's good news, there's bad news, and there's worse news. The bad news first is the unemployment rate right now with the latest numbers is probably around 10%. That's just shy of the 2008 recession's peak. The worst news is we can expect it to go higher. The unemployment rate in Pennsylvania right now is over 20%. That's just shy of what it was at the height of the Great Depression. And the reason for that is that Pennsylvania is better at getting its laid-off workers onto unemployment rolls than other states are. So we can expect other states' unemployment rates to be matching Pennsylvania's in the next few weeks.
So you used a word that I think a lot of people are afraid to use, and you said the Great Depression. That's a
yes.
word I think that people are afraid to use.
Oddly, that's where the good news comes in. What made the Great Depression a depression instead of a recession wasn't just the high unemployment. It was that the economic slowdown lasted for an entire decade. Our current situation is the result of governments closing down their economies. Of course, the point's to stop the spread of the virus. But the fact is that people's jobs are still there. They're waiting. If we turn the knob tomorrow and opened up the economies, everybody, all these unemployed people, will be back to work. The warning is we can't keep this up forever. The longer we keep the economy shut down, these businesses that have jobs right there waiting are going to go out of business, and then those jobs will disappear, and then this becomes a long-term problem.
So then a lot of the panic, I guess a lot of the panic that people are feeling, it is these workers. So if we could get that unemployment going and they could get money into their bank accounts and get their living expenses, get their rent paid or get their mortgage paid with the understanding that this too shall pass, that would take a lot of this stress away?
Well, it would, but it's missing an important ingredient, which is even if people had all the money in the world in their pockets, the businesses are closed. And the longer the businesses remain closed, the greater the probability there is that they're going to go out of business. And when finally we turn the taps back on, those people who had jobs, their jobs are now gone.
So what I've heard some of the pundits, and I'll be honest, I am kind of that news junkie. I flip around. I watch all the channels. I try to take in all the perspectives. And what I feel like I am hearing the experts say is we need a plan. And it's kind of like, I feel like everyone is saying very much what you're saying, that this isn't going to, this isn't permanent, that there is a solution to this. There just isn't much of a plan to get us to that solution.
Yeah, I don't think the plan needs to be complex, because it boils down to one bullet point: open up the businesses again. Now, what we might do is look to some examples. Sweden is an interesting case. They did not mandate lockdowns. Instead, Sweden's government advised people, don't congregate, don't go out more than you need to, this sort of thing, but there was no force of law behind it. Consequently, their businesses aren't shut down like ours are, and Sweden's infection rate is half that of Norway, their next door neighbor, that did do the mandated lockdowns, and it's two thirds of the U.S. infection rate.
So then what's the takeaway when we look at these numbers? We look at this 6.6, or I think it was 6.6. What's the takeaway then? I mean, because that's kind of what people, that's the number that everybody's throwing away, but it sounds like we got to dig deeper than this 6.6 million.
Yes, the takeaway is that the economy isn't in bad shape yet. All we've done is temporarily turn the switch off. The sooner we can turn the switch back on, the sooner everything will go back to normal. And the longer we leave that switch turned off, the worse it's going to be when we finally do turn it back on.
And what makes this moment in time different from other moments in our history is because this was fueled by a medical crisis. It was not fueled by a financial crisis.
It was fueled by a medical crisis. I guess that's the catalyst. But the thing that actually caused the current economic problem was not the virus. It was the government's response to it in shutting down businesses. Now, I understand we're caught between a rock and a hard place. You know, you've got to shut down the businesses to stop the spread of the virus. But at some point, we've got to recognize that lives saved by reducing spread of the virus are going to be counterbalanced by lives lost due to increased poverty, mental illness, and domestic violence that are exacerbated by the recession.
Which is exactly, I guess, what some of the business owners are arguing right now.
That's right. So the sooner we can turn these businesses back on, get people back to work, if we could do that within the next 3 weeks, it could be the case that come summer we look back on this and it's just a memory. But if we keep this up for another 2 months, this is going to be a problem that will stick with us for a long time.
Now, will we get our will we get these unemployment, and I apologize for not knowing this, will we get these unemployment figures weekly?
It's different sorts of figures. What comes out weekly are the initial jobless claims. That's people who have filed for unemployment for the first time. The official unemployment numbers come out once a month.
Okay. All right. So next week, what we will get is the new claims, but we'll be 4 weeks out before we get numbers like the ones we got today.
That's right. But you can take the initial claims that are coming out weekly and come to a pretty good estimate of what the unemployment numbers are going to be. And as of right now, we're looking nationwide at about 10%. In Pennsylvania, we're looking at about 20%.
Okay. All right. And, you know, someone just released a study the other day and said in a lot of ways, Pennsylvania was vulnerable job-wise. We were vulnerable to a pandemic like this because so many of our jobs were dependent, were vulnerable to things like, you know, jobs in the arts, jobs in the hotel industry. A lot of our jobs were dependent on the ability of people being able to get to work.
Yeah, all of those jobs that require heavy interaction with people were more vulnerable. And again, this comes back to the point of why we have to get back to work immediately, because the longer that those people are out of work, they become unemployed, they're not buying stuff, and before you know it, those of us whose jobs are all online, we now have no customers and we go out of business as well.
It just keeps going and going and going. Dr. Davies, once again, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate your perspective, as always.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.